thank you for everyone that being here for the last talk. And I'm trying to, both of the speakers cannot get a visa to get to United States. And it's a bit a problem during this period. Hopefully it's getting better next year. And the talk is mostly presented from by Zhaoping. Peng Huidi is the actually I have a slides later. So the talk is more sharing about the experience of building event center at Zhaoping using PASA. And so before that, I think I'll probably just give a simple introduction about Zhaoping. And to explain that in a simple way is it's close to Indeed in the state. So Zhaoping is the biggest online recruitment service provider in China. So there are two type of service it's providing. So it basically provides the job seeker for like resume services, so you can submit your resume, you can find jobs on the website. And it also offer enterprise like professional HR service, so they can posting the job descriptions and also try to find employee on this platform. And it has served 2.2 million clients, and its every daily page view is often over 68 million. I think the data is a bit old, but that's what I get from Wikipedia and Crunchbase. And just give a simple introduction about speakers. Although it's not me, but just try to introduce them. Peng Huidi is the tech lead of infrastructure team in Zhaoping. He has more than 5 years experience in messaging in microservice. And he's an Apache PASA committer. And he has contributed a lot of major features to PASA after he started using PASA and then contributing back to PASA. And I have a slide talking about his contribution at the end. Jai is also a PASA PMC member and a committer. He helped quite a lot about the adoptions in Zhaoping. So the talk was supposed to be presented by them, but because they didn't get a visa, so just do the job. So the agenda is coming to share the story of Zhaoping adopting PASA, that basically why they decided to build an event center and why they choose PASA, and what is the current adoption of PASA in Zhaoping, and what's the next plan or roadmap for they evolve PASA as a general streaming platform within PASA. Within Zhaoping. And at the end, I was also talking about what they had, what kind of contribution that Zhaoping has made to PASA. So why building a sort of event center? I think a simple way to describe that is Zhaoping use a lot of different type of messaging technologies. And those create a lot of data silos. And the goal is try to build a kind of unified platform, so the data can be shared between different teams and different organizations. So let's start from the beginning, very early stage. They have kind of three messaging systems. Because Zhaoping have two service, two set of customers. One is to the end user. The end user can be submitting their resume, and it's to the enterprise. Enterprise can they offer professional HR service. So they those two type of service are kind of handled by two different groups, and hence they used two different messaging system, which is. For the enterprise user, those service use MSMQ. I'm not familiar with about that MQ, but based on my understanding, it's a MQ messaging queuing system from Microsoft. And for the service that to the end user, they're using RabbitMQ, and they also have Kafka. So eventually, all the resume, all the queuing data, also going into the backend. Offline pipeline into Kafka, so they can do stream processing, any analytics related jobs running on Kafka. The problem of this is because you have three systems, and the maintenance cost is quite high. And some of the system also facing the problem of scaling up to support the business growth. And the other problem is you have three systems, you have to moving data between systems and for different purpose. Like some of the end user service might need data coming from enterprise users, and enterprise users might also need some data coming from the end user service. And both of the so the data processing pipeline need both of the data. So you have to move in the data between these different messaging systems. And it's really hard to track like who is the source of truth and what is the data loss or data duplication between systems. And hence there's no like guarantee or consistent SLA between different systems. So initially, I think before 2018, I think much earlier, they tried to unify their online service. Like basically, for online service, I have a separate service for enterprise and I have a service for end user, but they're using two different queuing system. So they try to they attempt to like unify these two pieces. So they develop a MQ service. It's more like a dispute version of dispute messaging queuing service based on WebMQ. So they basically do sharding in their MQ service and then partition data into different set of WebMQ clusters. And it addressed some of the problem is first it unified the online service. So it simplified the operations for online service, and to some extent, it provides a scale-out architecture. So you can add more WebMQ cluster to scale up the service. And because the WebMQ is also RepGate, so it provides some degree of the high availability. But it doesn't address the problem is because WebMQ is more a queuing model. Like once the queue is consumed, those messages are kind of deleted. So you cannot keep the message for a bit longer duration. So you cannot rewind processing the data. And typically there's no ordering guarantee. So you want to apply any streaming computing engine processing the data in the MQ service, it's a bit hard. So about I think early 2018, they were looking into how I can combine the messaging service in for the online service and also the messaging service for the data processing pipeline into one platform, so that can be served as a unified event center for all the groups within Dropping. So for those groups, if they want to use any event data, so they can just go to the event center and then search what kind of data are available. And it can accelerate the innovation of the data scientist team or the data team. So so they start looking into the open source area to see if there's any technology that can satisfy their requirement. And so basically there's two directions because they're already using RepMQ and they're also using Kafka. So the idea is why not just like moving the two system together into one system. So they're comparing the difference between RepMQ and Kafka. Is RepMQ provide a traditional queuing model, which means you can just add more consumers to increase the performance or the throughput of your consumption. So you can have better consumption parallelism. In the Kafka, the data is kind of partitioned into multiple partitions. Each consumer can get one or multiple partition to consume, but you cannot have more consumers than the number of partitions. So, it does provide a much better ordering guarantee for stream processing for any ordering any use case that requires a strong ordering guarantee. But RabbitMQ is good for the worker queue use case, especially in the online service. They use RabbitMQ for a lot of these worker queue use case, like you processing the resume and processing the notification and pushing the data between service. So this is what they use RabbitMQ for the online service. And Kafka is integrating very well with the whole like streaming processing or data processing ecosystem, and it does provide a much higher throughput than RabbitMQ. But the problem is you cannot actually like moving one model to the other model. For example, if you attempt to use Kafka for online service, then it loses a lot of flexibility that are provided by the traditional queuing system, because you cannot scale up the number of the consumers beyond the number of partitions. You can achieve messaging queuing model by increasing the number of partitions, but you still you cannot just when you increase the number of partitions, you're facing another problem. Is once you have thousands, 10,000 partitions, they might have other issues like I/O contention, random writes, random reads. So it's not the right solution for them to use in Kafka in a messaging queuing use case. As I mentioned before, is RabbitMQ has a bit lower throughput in the streaming processing use case, so you cannot just like switching the data analytics pipeline to using RabbitMQ, and also RabbitMQ is not like really it's not that popular in data processing ecosystem, so you have to do additional work to integrate RabbitMQ with other data processing systems. Hence, they need a kind of a unified platform to handle both cases. The original idea is try to implement one by themselves, like a lot of company would do is re-implement another database, another messaging queue, or another file system. But the approach that they were doing is they're looking into the open source. They first found Apache Bookkeeper, which is a distributed scalable log storage. They will attempt. They say, okay, there's already a strong, consistent, and high performance log storage. So I probably can just building a broker on top of the storage. And when they interact with the Bookkeeper community, and some of the community upon them, there's a project called Pulsar, which does exactly what you are planning to implement. So they talk to the Pulsar community and then do a bunch of the investigation, and they think Pulsar meets their requirement. Why Pulsar meet their requirements? So Pulsar basically, it's not just a simple messaging system. It's a two-layer architecture. It comprises a serverless broker, which is for messaging, message dispatching, and a scalable log storage layer. So it's a messaging plus storage. And I already explained that it's a flexible pub sub messaging backed by a scalable log storage. So just give a simple idea how does it looks like. So first, Pulsar, the concept is very similar as other traditional pub sub messaging, but the organization or the topic management is quite different. Pulsar was designed for a multi-tenant system, so the whole topic is organized in a hierarchical way. So the first layer, you have the concept of called tenant. It used to be called property, but we changed to the tenant, but the diagram is not updated. And under tenant, you can create as many namespace as you want. And the namespace, within the namespace, you can create as many topics. So it's a very natural way if you want to build like a multi-tenant messaging platform. You can choose like a department as the tenant, and the service that you are running under department is the namespace. And for a given service, you might use multiple topics to managing the system. So you can use a different topic for different purpose. So it's a perfect fit for running a messaging platform for multiple groups within an organization. So that is the kind of first point why like Pulsar is a attract solution to Zhaoping. The second one is, as I said, is in Zhaoping for their online service, they're using the traditional queuing model. And for the data processing, they're using the streaming, stream processing or data processing model, which is more close to streaming. And Pulsar provides a unified, flexible messaging model. So basically, you can just store the data as one copy, but on in a topic, but you can have many many subscriptions. And in terms of subscription, it's more close to a consumer group in Kafka. So you have a group of consumer form as a subscription to consume the data from topic. The difference here is in Kafka, the consumer group has only one way to consume the data. But Pulsar provide a different type of subscription mode. So that means you have different way to consume the data. So in this diagram is in the streaming mode, like we have the exclusive failover. To expand that in a simple way is it's the model that is same as Kafka. In this model, is each partition would be assigned to a consumer to process, and the consumer will process the message in order. The share mode is a bit different. It's more close to the traditional queuing, like master queue. You can have multiple consumers consume on one partition, and the broker would dispatch the messages in a round-robin way to the consumers, so it can scale up the consumers beyond the number of the partitions. And the model fits well into the requirements that Zhaoping want, because you can just store one copy of the data, but provide two different ways to consume the data. Queuing is good for like online service, streaming is good for the data processing. And the other benefits that looking into Pulsar is it's a layer architecture that kind of fit into their original plan on implementing a unified platform. They want to build a serverless broker on top of scale out log storage. And Pulsar fits well into their original design. It's a two-layer architecture. So you have a separate scale-up storage for the log storage, and the broker became just a stateless broker. It's only for serving the messaging producing and also message dispatching. And the benefits you get from this architecture is it provides independent scalability. So if you want more serving bandwidth, you can just add more brokers. If you want to keep data for much longer duration, you just drop in new storage node. And because the broker doesn't really store data, and you actually can get instant failure recovery, because you don't need to copy the data during recovery. You can just start another broker, and then it can quickly become active in serving the traffic. Because all the data is segmented and stored in the storage there, you don't need rebalancing the data when you expand the cluster. So that is kind of the architecture that fits in into the original design that Xiaoping wanted to develop the unified platform. So to summarize this, why Pulsar fit in their requirements is Pulsar provide a better abstractions for different type of consumption pattern. So that can fit in into the online service and also data processing. And Pulsar provide better fault-tolerant and consistent options for like online service specifically, because you don't want to lose any like transaction order or any other critical online data. And Pulsar use a scalable storage system which fits in well into the original design. And hierarchical topic management in resource isolation is good for unified platform. So Pulsar kind of meet the Xiaoping's requirement, so they decide to adopt Pulsar. And that is kind of, once you use Pulsar, you can keep one copy of data in Pulsar, but provide two different consumption model for online service and data processing. So they started a POC around July 2018, and they tried to verify if the Pulsar model is good for their online service as well as for the data processing pipeline. And after 1 month, I think they confirmed, okay, the Pulsar model fits in well in both online service and also data processing. Hence, they tried to roll out Pulsar in production in a dark mode. Dark mode means they do dual writes, write one copy to their existing WebMQ and write another copy to Pulsar so they can fail over. And after another month, on September 2018, they roll out Pulsar to production and slowly deprecate the existing WebMQ pipeline. So after on production, they start serving a bunch of the customers internally at Xiaoping. And it's so crazy, like within one month, the traffic is going from I remember initially during the traffic of the initial rollout is about 60 million messages per day, and after a month it grows into 1 billion messages per day, and I think on November they win the internal award is the best innovative platform award within Xiaoping. And the business keep growing, and more people kind of within Xiaoping adopting this unified event center, and the traffic went up to 3 billion messages per day on December 2018, and right now it's 20 billion messages per day. I think that is the last month. I guess the number is still growing. The benefit is once you have a unified platform, it's easier for people just connect your service and get data in, and the consuming team will just like search the event center to get the data they want to process. That bring a lot of convenience for people to onboarding and processing the data. So that's why the traffic keep going very quickly. And right now, Xiaoping has run Pulsar for close to a year, and it's serving like it has more than 50 namespace, containing 5,000 topics, and the traffic is 20 billion events per day, and serving I think more than 20 core service online service. The 20 core service doesn't include the number of the data processing job. The processing job has more, there are more data processing jobs, including the search pipeline, recommendation pipeline as well.
Yeah. I know this isn't your presentation, but do you have to know the hardware equipment to run this type of throughput or workload?
I think they run, so they have two, I think they have two clusters, or three clusters. I don't remember the number. One is running in AliCloud, which is pure VM, and they're planning to use the TL storage to upload into Blob Store. The other one is in their own data center. I think the machines in the data center is much better than the VMs on the cloud, and they're doing replications. And I think the one in Jiaping's data center, I think is 10 to 20 machines. I don't remember exactly the number, and they also didn't share me the exact numbers. On the VM, I think it has much large numbers because it's VM, so it's not on-prem machines. And this is kind of the dashboard, the Pulsar dashboard, and they use the open source Grafana dashboard for monitoring all the system metrics. And the couple of interesting metrics is about the the four metrics are kind of the in and out throughput. The last one is this latency is in the system, in the whole traffic. About 99.5% of the producing requests are less than 5 milliseconds. But I have to say that is because they use the SSD as the general disk. So SSD provide a very very good f-sync latency. And one thing to point out is the latency measured here is including async time. They didn't disable any async. So all the data is written to the file system and then async to disk and acknowledge, because they want a much stronger guarantee on the persistency. So they don't want to lose data. So they enable that. But as you can see, even in a high throughput, you can still get very good latency with SSD.
Was there RECOM3?
RECOM3, yeah. So right now in Jiaoping is they try to moving more and more the messaging and streaming workload on Jiaoping. So Pulsar is serve as one copy of data as a source of truth. So you don't need to worry about the consistency between WebMQ or Kafka. You just simply dump the data to Pulsar, and your different team can just consume the data from Pulsar. And multi-tenancy make the topic management much easier, especially as a platform maintainer. I can just give out a tenant or a namespace to the team, and I don't need to worry about how they use the tenant or use the team. I can just control at a tenant level how much resource you can use. And because, as I mentioned in previous slides, is they f-sync all the data to the disk before acknowledge, so it provides much stronger data durability that allows them to stop worrying about the memory loss, so they are confident to run Pulsar in the core online pipeline. So that is the current state of Pulsar at Jiaoping. But beyond that is they're thinking more how to evolve the platform to beyond just a Pulsar messaging system. It will become more event streaming platform for not just not just being a pipe to piping data between service. So the idea here is you have Pulsar that is as the kind of the entry for you to dumping all the streaming data in, and you also have a tier storage to Pulsar provide a tier storage feature to offloading the historical data to tier storage, so you can use Pulsar as infinity stream storage for keeping all both the streaming data and also the historical data. On top of that, you can using different type of the computing engine to process data within Pulsar. Like for example, as Jerry gave a talk like earlier about like how to use Circle to query the event streams. So you can use Circle to do interactive query. Like you want to debugging, do any log debugging, audit log, or any change capture data analyzing. So you can use that for data scientists to issue any ad hoc queries. And you can use Flink for the unified data processing. Then you can run a streaming job or batch job to process the data stored in Pulsar. And the last one, the right one is the Pulsar functions. They want to use Pulsar functions for the whole ETL related pipeline. Is they can just simply write some Pulsar functions to roll up the raw data into more high level or compact data, and then use the data to so that those data can be processed by Pulsar Circle or Flink. So that is the way how they want to build in their event stream platform. I think I covered that is functions for lightweight computing for the ETL pipeline, and Flink for the unified streaming unified stream in batch processing, and Pulsar Circle is just for interactive queries for on both historical data and real time data. And because Pulsar Circle is based on Presto support ANSYS, I think it's a standard Circle syntax. So you can integrate Presto with a lot of BI tools like I forgot the the famous BI tool, Tableau. Yeah, Tableau, and also maybe also some. Visibility tool like SupSet to visualize those data. So that is the goal. But more details, we probably submit another talk for next ApacheCon, and to explain more about their streaming platform, because a bunch of the stuff are still like in progress. And yeah, so the last that is the future plan for like how Pulsar how Zhaopin want to evolve Pulsar into a general event streaming platform. And it's interesting is Zhaopin first adopt Pulsar as a user, and then start contributing Pulsar features back to Pulsar, and then became a committer. So it's kind of followed the Apache way on contributing, making contributions to Pulsar. So I think I should also mention what kind of a contribution they have made to Pulsar, and also this is like how Chinese developer involved into I would say U.S. oriented project, and how they can get made great and major contribution to a U.S. project. So Zhaopin has made a lot of great contributions to Pulsar, like they add interceptor to the client API, and they introduce the dead letter topic, so you can configure a consumer to send the message that the consumer cannot consume to a dead letter topic. And they add some small changes for performance in the message tracker in the client side, and a service URL provider, so you can dynamic changing the access point in the client. And those are kind of small changes they made initially when they are starting using Pulsar. And once they get familiar with Pulsar, they introduce a lot of major features to Pulsar, like the new key share subscription mode, and made a lot of improvements to Pulsar Circle, because they're starting using Pulsar Circle for their audit log use case. And like schema and also the HDFS offloader. So the studying became more and more involved in this project, and also combine their requirements and contributing the feature back into PulSar, and all they done kind of follow the Apache principle. So yeah, I think that's the talk, and that's some kind of reference links. I think I already give it out in other talks, and thank you. Time for questions. If there's no questions, it's the day. I think last talk. We're done. Thank you.